Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on Facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hi, good evening, and welcome to Mess with MS on Brain Injury Radio. Brain Injury Radio is committed to brain injury awareness. During the week, we have shows that run from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. On Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, our shows run from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific, and on Sundays, our shows run from 5:30 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and the shows air on this network all across the United States and in 36 countries. My name is Lisa Dreyer. I came to Brain Injury Radio after first appearing on Blog Talk Radio, which is our hosting network. I came on as an actress, and I had yet to know that I was to be diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I did not yet know that what was a learning disability was actually a brain injury, and it was incorrectly worded as such. It wasn't until I looked further into it, once I had been diagnosed with MS, that I realized that I had a brain injury, and I began working for the Brain Injury Radio Network. And here I am. I'm very pleased tonight to have my guest, Kevin. Now, Kevin, I'm going to ask once again for your help because I don't want to mispronounce your last name. Kevin
Kleplinger? It's Keplinger. Keplinger.
Keplinger.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. So thank you for being on, and thank you for helping me pronounce everything on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for coming on and telling your story, which I think is so important. It's so important for people with multiple sclerosis to hear your story, and it's so important for people with other autoimmune diseases to hear your story, because I have been doing a little bit of research about the medication, if I can call that, that you had, which is HSCT.
Correct.
I found out that not only does it help multiple sclerosis, but it helps all kinds of autoimmune diseases. And I had a little bit of knowledge about that because I know that when my father had some surgery done for his back, he had some stem cells. Some stem cell surgery for his back. to help, to further help it. And this was for some very serious back surgery he had. And I've known other family members who they have used stem cells for other types of very serious surgeries like cancer and such. But they use it for all kinds of autoimmune diseases. And
well,
HSV,
so I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
you.
Oh,
no. No,
well, HSCT, hemopoietic stem cell transplant for multiple sclerosis and associative autoimmune diseases, is not really about stem cells. It's about chemotherapy. And HSCT is a high-dose chemotherapy procedure that uses high-dose chemotherapy to wipe out your old existing MS-ridden immune system and then restarts it or reboots it again with a hematopoietic stem cell transplant using your body's own stem cells. There's no donors or any outside source involved that they extract from your own body through a mobilization process that you go through prior to being given the chemotherapy. So you go through your mobilization for stem cell harvest first, then they give you the chemotherapy, and then they transplant or give you back your stem cells to restart your immune system. HSCT is all about chemotherapy. It's not a stem cell procedure, and I've even said many numerous times that I wish we could just change the name and get rid of the word stem cells, because it just causes confusion.
That's true, because, the word stem cell, I mean, the word stem cells are part of the name of it. So it is slightly confusing. I know that when I was first, when I first got very, very sick, and I was in the hospital, when they first gave me Tysabri was then a very, very new medication for MS, and it was kind of de rigueur, I guess. They said, well, do you want this? Do you want this? We can do this. We can take out your blood cells, and we can, I guess they were saying we can clean them and then we can put them back into your body. But I think they were actually talking about my stem cells.
There's also plasmapheresis where they do run your blood through a filter.
I guess they might have been talking about that too.
Yeah, that's what they were probably referring to. But see, there are different types of stem cell procedures that often get confused with HSCT. There's the mesenchymal stem cells that they take out of you with a liposuction procedure, and then they put them in a centrifuge and spin them around and separate them out and then give them back to you through an IV. Doesn't really work, although we have had members that have tried it and have noticed some temporary symptom relief, but the MS usually comes back within about 10 to 12 months because it's the chemotherapy that addresses the disease activity of MS, as well as other autoimmune diseases, CIDP, scleroderma, and a few other ones are diseases that it's also used for.
When I had my Tysabri, they gave me doses of chemotherapy with it, at least in one of the hospitals that I was having it in a California hospital that I was in. I was in a patient program. It was a select patient program, and I was in a chemotherapy ward. It was a grueling process.
Oh, it is. I mean, HSCT is a major medical procedure, and it needs to be considered as such.
Yeah. So tell me about your experience. How long did it take?
Well, I had HSCT back in 2016. I was actually supposed to have gone in 2015, but I ended up having to have hernia surgery in June of 15, and that caused a delay until the early part of 2016 before I could leave to go for the HSCT procedure. And I had all kinds of problems when I went through mine. I had problems mobilizing. It took them three times. They almost didn't think they were going to get enough stem cells. It took them a month, and three different attempts to finally get enough stem cells out of me so they could go ahead and proceed with the HSCT. And then I went through the chemotherapy, which I actually went through pretty well. I didn't have too bad a time with it. And then afterwards I had a few problems, one of which was BK virus activation, which is not that unheard of in cancer patients, which is actually what HSCT is. It's a cancer treatment with the chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And then got treated for that. And they got me through all of it. I mean, they were wonderful to me. I had it done at Raffles Medical Center in Singapore, which back then it was a lot harder to get treated than what it is today. There's been some great improvements just within the last 3 years, 3 to 4 years, on the availability of HSCT. Now there's basically just two facilities that have taken over, where before there were several other facilities, international facilities around the world that you could apply to get into. Singapore was one of them, and I went there because they were able to take me within about 6 months. Back then, Russia had a 2-year waiting list for international patients, and I didn't want to wait 2 years. And the Mexico facility, which is where most people are going now for treatment, they at the time had just started, and you needed to take a caregiver with you because their treatment is outpatient. And I did not have a caregiver that I could take with me. I was going to go alone. And so that ruled out Mexico. And I was also in contact with Israel, but Singapore just seemed like a better choice for me, so I chose to go to Singapore. But nowadays, nobody goes to Singapore or Israel or any place, really, except Mexico. If you're in North America, you're going to Mexico. Although we do have a couple of people that have gone over to Russia. Of course, now we're running into the COVID travel restrictions, so that's kind of slowed down the number of people that have been getting treated. And the big news that everybody's all excited about, especially here in Ohio, is that the Cleveland Clinic has finally started an HSCT program, and they have started treating patients with multiple sclerosis off trial. And that's really something. We've been trying to get somebody to wake up and start doing this for a long, long time, and it looks like maybe. I don't want to get too optimistic because in the world of HSCT, you never know what's going to happen. But so far, it looks very promising.
Well, I actually looked through pictures today and of what I saw from something that you had posted, actually, and then I looked through more pictures, and I actually saw one of the nurses that I know, and he was in the pictures of the HSCT trials or non-trials, and it's just so amazing because I talk to him all the time, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, I was to go in. There he is. I know him. He's one of my nurses. That's amazing.
Well, now, There was a small program in Ohio before this. It was down at the University of Cincinnati Hospital at UCH. There was a couple of doctors down there that were trying to get a program started, and I believe they treated about 6 or 7 MS patients, and then something happened, and I'm not really sure what it was, but the doctor, the hematologist that was doing it, left and moved to a hospital in Wisconsin, I believe, and I'm not exactly sure why that happened, but as far as I know, UCH is not doing it now, but the Cleveland Clinic is, and that's just wonderful. Because it would be so nice not to have to go through all the effort of leaving the country. Although now that I've done it, I mean, it's really very easy. I would do it again in a minute. It sounds a lot harder than it actually is.
It's fun to leave the country. I like traveling.
Well, when you're not a patient, yes, I could see that. Yeah. When you're going as a patient, it's a little nerve-wracking and concerning, especially when you're by yourself. But they took wonderful care of me. I mean, it was a great experience. And I've always said people in the MS community that have been able to have HSCT are blessed.
Do you speak Korean?
In Singapore? No, in Singapore, everybody speaks English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Singapore is a former British colony, and they speak just English like they do in Britain. It's British-type English, I've watched enough British TV shows.
People go to England for school, actually?
Oh, I suppose. But, I mean, Singapore is great. If you ever get a chance to go there, you've got to go. We also had another HSCT program in this country, which was a pretty big one. It was over in Chicago, Chicago Northwestern University with Dr. Burt. And several members of our Ohio HSCT group on Facebook were treated in Chicago by Dr. Burt. In fact, I would say probably most of the HSCT veterans in our Ohio group were probably treated in Chicago. But Mexico is catching up.
It's possible that some of them are on hold right now. Give me a second because I do see that 2 people have been in the studio for a while. I'm going to check on them real quick and see if either of them wants to speak with us. 914, you're on Mess with MS. 914, hi. 914, you're on Mess with MS. Hello.
Hi, Lisa?
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hi. Yes.
Hi. This is Andrea Horowitz. I came in to listen tonight. I'm finding the conversation very interesting and very educational. I have a good friend who had stem cell replacement for cancer about 10 years ago. We haven't really discussed the treatment since that period of time when we were discussing it a lot. But hearing the conversation this evening and in terms of treatment for MS, is very interesting. I attended a symposium in New York City a few years back. I think the doctor is Dr. Sadiq in Manhattan, and saw a presentation at that time also. But a lot through the years in trial stages. So listening to Kevin's success story and the conversation. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. Thank you for calling in tonight, and it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Yes, it's wonderful to hear yours also. We communicate on social media from time to time.
Yeah.
Wonderful having the telephone and the voice contact, too. More personal.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and have a great evening. I'm going to put you back on hold, and maybe we can talk again later, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. So I read that the first successful HSCT therapy was done in 1967. Do you know where it was done at, Kevin?
If you mean for MS, it was probably done at Stanford University School of Medicine with Dr. Shimon Slavin. He is the father of what's called non-myeloablative HSCT. There's two types of HSCT, myeloablative, which is the harder chemo that completely wipes out your immune system, which is what they're doing at the Cleveland Clinic. And then there's the milder form called non-myeloablative, which is the forms that they use for most MS treatments. That's what they used in Chicago, and that's what they currently use at the Russia facility and the Mexico facility. The Russian facility and the Mexico facilities are the two world leaders for HSC treatment of autoimmune diseases, and they use the non-myeloablative form, which is cyclophosphamide plus rituximab. They use a alkylating chemo agent, the cyclophosphamide, and then a biologic, which is the rituximab in combination. All of the facilities have their own different protocol. They have their own way of doing it. There really isn't any two that do it alike. Chicago, when Dr. Burt did it at Chicago Northwestern University, he used cyclophosphamide plus RATG, or globulin, which is a little bit different. But it all achieves the same effect in wiping out the old existing immune system. You know, the caller you were talking to here a moment ago mentioned Dr. Sadiq. I believe Dr. Sadiq is associated with the Tisch Center in New York, and they are not involved with HSCT, although they are doing some stem cell research. It is not
HSCT. But Tisch is a very, Tisch is a very well-respected medical facility, though.
Yes, but it's not HSCT, though.
It's not HSCT, though.
No.
Mm-hmm. So, because I have heard someone speak about what would be called, quote-unquote, stem cell therapy, who was from Tisch, I think. So that would make sense. Why you wouldn't want HSCT to be called stem cell therapy. And
it's very confusing. Although I do think that I do think we've made quite a bit of progress in that area. HSCT, thanks to the people in the HSCT community, is becoming more well-known and better understood than what it was even just a few years ago. Although there's still far more misinformation than there is correct information out there about HSCT. And sadly, I would say that the vast majority of the MS community has never even heard of HSCT.
Well, I know that I hadn't until people like you started talking to me about it.
That's about the only way you're going to hear about it, because the doctors aren't going to say anything to you about it, because that's not what neurologists do. You know, the HSCT is performed by hematologists, not neurologists. And these MS societies will not even barely mention the word.
Now,
that's really a sore subject with myself, as well as many others in the HSCT community.
I'm lucky because now I'm at the Cleveland Clinic where I'm at the best place ever. See, my neurologist would tell me about something like HSCT because she is the best neurologist ever. And she would say, look, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. She would tell me about HSCT. But that's because I went in there and told her, look, this is what I want. And she was like, okay, well, that's something really proactive of you, Lisa, because I went in there asking for Lemtrada, and I think I'm
new.
But
did you take Lemtrada?
I did. And you know what? I did very, very well with it. Better
good.
Than, yeah, I had superstar results with Lemtrada and still do. And I know you say you, but I just read an article about the fact that HSCT is apparently, and I can understand this because most people, and I feel badly about this, most people do not have good results from Lemtrada. They do not see benefits. And sometimes I think that's because they expect to see these amazing things happen to their bodies when it might just be that they don't see huge benefits. However, I saw the huge benefits.
That's wonderful.
I can run now, basically.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's another point about HSCT. The goal of HSCT, the stated goal, is to stop or halt the progression of MS. Any symptom recovery that the patient experiences is a bonus. Although from my experience in dealing with HSCT vets, as we're referred to, as we're called, has been that just about everybody sees some symptomatic recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's and what I read for people with primary progressive multiple sclerosis, HSCT is the best form.
It is.
Of
it is.
Treatment.
It is.
And they were saying it far outranks Lemtrada, and that's like a real endorsement of HSCT.
It's the best treatment for all forms of MS. Now, some people, I've read this several times, that they say, oh, it's only for certain types of MS. Wrong. It's for every type of MS. If you have MS and you can pass the pre-screenings, there's a battery of tests they give you to make sure you can withstand the chemo. A lot of it is to do with your heart and everything. If you can pass those tests and pass pre-testing, you qualify for HSCT. It is not, and I repeat, not just for specific types of MS. It's for all people with MS. And I had a great conversation with my one HSCT doctor one day when I had finally completed mobilization before they started the chemo. He came in and talked to me, and he said that patients should just be sent directly for HSCT upon diagnosis. And I thought, you know, it's just so sad to see the U.S. sitting here so far behind on HSCT. And I personally, I mean, it's very aggravating to myself, as well as everybody else in the HSCT community, as to, one, why we aren't being told about this, and second, why is it not available to us? And hopefully this program starting at the Cleveland Clinic will take off, and they'll start treating a lot of patients, and maybe we'll get some publicity for it.
I think it will. And you know, when you want to hear something, and it's interesting you say that people don't know about it, is that I was just having a conversation about this show before the show started. And I was talking to my significant other's mother, who is very proactive and very involved in, you know, her family. And she was saying that when she had heard about HSCT, she wanted to get it for Christopher. And they were looking at all the different places where he could possibly get it. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. That's wonderful. Because at that point in time, I mean, like, I had never heard about it. I'm sure my mother had never heard about it before. I mean, and here was Chris's mom figuring out how to get it for him. So, I mean, it's all just about, you know, how involved you are in figuring out medical news and research.
Well, it's...
you have to become your own doctor.
If you've heard of HSCT, I would just about bet that you've heard about it from someone else that's had HSCT, yeah, or someone in the HSCT community.
Yeah.
Which is sad, you know. But we are spreading the word. More and more people are finding out about it. And with the expansion of the Russian facility for people in Europe and some for here in North America, too, we have a couple people in our Ohio group that have gone to Russia, and including our co-admin, Vicky. I think she was only the 10th international patient accepted for treatment in Russia. And this is 7 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And now with the opening of the Mexico facility in about 2016, I think they had just started when I was leaving to go to Singapore. It's much easier now to get treated, and more people are finding out about it and hopefully, you know, getting treated. But when you leave the country, you still have to raise the money and you still have to leave the country. At the Cleveland Clinic, you won't have to leave the country, and hopefully we'll be able to get everybody covered with insurance.
So was it very difficult to find insurance did you already have insurance when you got the procedure done?
If you leave the country, they're not covering it.
No, yeah.
You know. So, but with the Cleveland Clinic doing it, you know, the insurance policy, I mean, the insurance company should cover. From what I've heard, they are covering it.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, now if they can just start, you know, ramping up the facility to where they can start, you know, treating lots and lots of people at a time. Because there's so much MS in northeastern Ohio that it's practically epidemic.
I know.
You know, western Pennsylvania, too, this whole kind of area right around here. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many people have MS. And I was talking to my attorney a couple of years ago about something, and she told me, she says, kind of leans across the table and looks at me, she says, "Kevin, you just wouldn't believe how many of my clients have MS." And I looked at her and I said, "Yeah, actually I would."
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of people with MS, and we all need HSCT.
Once you find out that you have MS, everyone begins to tell you that they know someone who has MS, and it becomes like such a very small world of people who have MS, and it's just an amazing connection that is formed. And then you start realizing that there are so many people in the world with MS.
They have no idea. They have no idea how many people have MS. You know, the MS Society for so long said, oh, there's 400,000 people that have MS in the United States. Well, they finally got so much criticism over using that same old number that they just dreamed up this number. Now they say, oh, there's a million people in the United States that has MS. Well, how did they come up with that number?
Yeah. When were you diagnosed?
They have no idea. They just, in my opinion, they just guessed at that number.
Yeah. Out of you know, how many people are in the world and how many people at that time. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I would say that there's probably 4 to 5 million people. Well, I don't know if there's that many, but I think there's an awful lot more than 1 million people in the United States that have MS. I think that number is extremely low.
Well, and there's probably also a lot of people who have MS who won't get tested or admit that they're as sick as they actually are, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Because they're scared and they won't say that they're sick. Because I see that. I see that in people, and
sure.
That's not saying. From very personal experiences, I see that in people.
It's something very hard to accept.
Yeah, unless it's kind of forced upon you.
Yeah.
Yes, unless you get very, very sick. And I know that I was very sick for a very long time, and I was trying very. It was very tough to get diagnosed, and I just really needed to figure out what was wrong with me, and I didn't know what MS was at all. That wasn't even on the table. So when they finally diagnosed me with MS, I was just kind of like, what? Okay.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, you know, like yours, it's probably somewhat of a relief because at least you know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. When were you diagnosed with MS?
I got diagnosed in 2003. I had a case of optic neuritis, which led to my diagnosis. But I've had it a lot longer than that. Because I can go back and think about symptoms. And my first neurologist, who was just a general neurologist, he said that he thought I'd had a mild case of it most of my life because I had had an incident with my vision way back in high school in the 70s. Well, they didn't have MRIs back then.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably the onset of it. I think it was like a mild, very mild case of optic neuritis. And then for some reason in 2003, it hit me in my right eye and I was basically blind. Went to bed feeling fine, woke up and couldn't see.
Yeah.
You know, hit me just that quick. And then I spent, you know, the next several years trying everything, you know, to fight the MS. And mine was slow. I mean, it was slow progressing, but it was, I could just kind of look back on it and kind of say, well, you know, I was just sort of just slowly and slowly getting worse. And then finally in 2015, I just got to the point where I said, well, I'm going to have to go for HSCT. I don't see any other option. And I think that was right about the time they came out with Tysabri, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been a little bit before that.
2015?
Yeah, when did they come out with Tysabri? It was right around there someplace, wasn't it? 14, 15?
I was in the hospital let's see, if this, I was in the hospital in Washington, D.C. in 2013. But like I say, it was very, very experimental at the time. And it was not like something that I think they were really using. It was kind of like they were going, oh, well, this is something that we're not really using anywhere, but if you want to, we can use it on you. And I was just going, you know, whatever. Like, I was so sick. It was kind of like a, I was it was not a healthy me saying whatever. It was a me who was kind of like, I was basically not there. So, yeah. I don't think it, usually people are that sick. I was really, really sick. I almost died in the hospital.
Wow.
They called my mom in Arizona, and told her that I was in the ward and I was going to die. And it was a bad hospitalization. So yeah, it was not a good time. But yeah, the Tysabri, like for me, that was an amazing medication because I went from not walking to walking again, and it really worked really well. But I was on it for less than 2 years. So, because I went PML on it. So,
oh, did you have PML?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in less than 2 years.
Wow.
But it's, you know, it's a really good medication, and that's what I felt. And I think that if you're going to do a DMD, I think that they should start out with a DMD like that instead of not doing like a strong DMD, that when you start out on your MS journey, you should start out with a strong DMD.
That's what they're saying now. They're starting to change their thinking about it.
Yeah, that there shouldn't be any of this pussyfooting around.
Right.
and I think it sets you up for a better journey with your MS, because
that's why just about all HSCT vets, including myself, say, you know, if I'd have known back when I was diagnosed what I know now, I would have gone immediately and had HSCT done.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have waited a day. I would have gone right then and had it done, and not, you know, wasted 13 years, you know, doing all this other stuff and just getting worse.
Yeah, it sounds like a miracle process, really. I mean, so when you had it done, give me the best things that have happened because of it. What are the best things that have happened because of it?
Well, Dr. Lowe told me in my, when I went in and talked to her prior to treatment, she said, because of your age, I was 58 when I was treated, and she said, because of the duration that you've had MS, she said, don't expect any recovery at all. And I said, fine, just get it stopped before I end up in a wheelchair. And she says, okay. She says, we'll go through with it. And so I went through and had it, but I did have some symptomatic recoveries. For me, the biggest recovery has been getting rid of my irritable bowel syndrome, the IBS.
I had
that for years, and I now think that was probably one of the first symptoms of MS. And
that's amazing.
That has cleared. It's gone. I mean, it is just completely gone. My bladder is better. I still have the bladder urgency, but I don't have the bladder frequency, which allows me to sleep a lot better at night. I don't have to keep up and, you know, go to the bathroom two or three times. You know, I go to bed and, you know, I'm out. Now, I don't sleep that long. I mean, I sleep, you know, somewhere between, you know, 5.5, 6 hours. But at least I get the minimum 5 hours of sleep in, which you need. And that helps with the fatigue then, too. And my vision did get a little bit better. You know, the optic neuritis, my eye cleared up a little bit, not a lot. I can still tell there's damage in my right eye, but it's better than it was. So I had, that recovery. My walking is still basically the same. Sometimes I think it's a little bit worse, but then, you know, it's like, well, sometimes I think it's, you know, better. But I mean, it's basically stable, I would say, at this point. But I'm 4.5 years now post-HSCT. But there's just, it's just so frustrating. I've known 4 people that have just wasted away and died from MS. And I know that none of the four even ever heard of HSCT. And HSCT probably could have not only saved them but helped them. And it's just so frustrating to see the MS community suffer the way that it is. Although they do have better drugs out now than they used to.
And there's more coming, too.
Yeah,
so.
But HSCT could be helping so many people, and the fact that people aren't being informed about it is just outrageous. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Think about the fact that you are on this show right now, and this show is going to be here forever in the archives, and right now it's being broadcast all over, everywhere.
It's great that you're doing a show about HSCT to try to tell people about it.
Well, I think it's great that you're on the show telling people about it. So. We both are doing our part. and not only that, I want to do more shows about it because I think it's, you know, a really amazing and wonderful thing for the MS community to have. And I want to talk to people who are getting it currently at the Cleveland Clinic and more people from your group, hopefully, and I just want to hear everyone's stories. And I'm so excited about this. I want to know, do you know if it has helped anyone who has been on, like, through a disease-modifying drug process and then maybe had success with the disease modifying drug process and then maybe later in life decided to take HSCT just as a booster perhaps?
Well, there's all kinds of stories. I mean, people, you know, if have all different forms of MS that go and have it done, you know. But, well, I don't know. I mean, everybody's story is individual.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it? It's just something, though, that people should have been informed about, and it should have been available to them at the very least at 5 years ago. I'm going to say more like 10, because they've had enough data and this has been done long enough. And to think that to this day, most people in the MS community have never even heard of it is just outrageous.
Yeah. So, and you think that's because of the fact that it's not Do you think it's because that it's not a medicine that can be made money off of?
Well, there's all kinds of theories, or people say all kinds of things about, you know, why aren't people being informed about HSCT? And there's probably a little bit of truth into what everybody says. You know, I mean, have you heard anything at all from any of the MS societies about the HSCT program at the Cleveland Clinic?
As of yet, no.
No, have you heard anything about it in any of the MS press websites? Like, I just got two MS magazines in the mail this week, and there's not a single word in there about HSCT at all. And there never is. They never even mention it. Now, you would think that'd be pretty big news about a major hospital like the Cleveland Clinic having HSCT for MS, and nobody's even mentioning it.
Yeah, it should be. And I heard, I heard about it from the Cleveland Clinic. I heard about it from, you know, the people that I go and see.
Well, that's because
you're
there.
My doctors. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, it is. And so I'm in the know.
Well, that's pretty good that they're talking about it, at least, and telling people about it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
and they were the ones who told me that they had an HSCT program and that the other one was in Chicago. And so...
Well, not anymore. I mean, the one in Chicago is closed down, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Dr. Bird at Chicago Northwestern. And he treated a lot of people, but I think he closed down. It may be about a year ago now. I can't really remember how long ago it was. But that was a big blow to the HSCT community, because that was basically the only place in the States where you could get treated, was at Chicago. Now, there are trials going on in Seattle and Denver. But from what I understand, those are pretty hard to get into. And they're also a trial at the Cleveland Clinic. They're part of this Beat MS trial, which is going on, which is HSCT. But the fact that they're willing to treat people off trial is great. That's exactly what we need. We don't need trials. We just need people to go in and get treated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had applied at Chicago because Dr. Burt was doing his HSCT trial, which I believe is now published in JAMA. But he was treating a lot of people off trial, too. And I applied to him, but I was too old at the time. I thought, well, I'm just going to do it. I didn't expect them to take me, which they didn't, you know. And I just thought, well, I wasn't real upset about it, because at that point I was planning on leaving the country anyway to get treated. And they turned me down, which I said, okay. Yeah, I figured so. It wasn't too great of a heartbreak for me. But the people that perhaps that would have been their only opportunity, you know, to get turned down like that, that's heartbreaking.
Okay, so I have found something on HSCT in the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. So they are talking about it. And you can go on their website and find a lot of information.
Yeah, that's about all they do, is they have it posted on their website.
Yeah.
And they did come out here, I think, about a month ago, or maybe only a couple of weeks ago, with some statement about HSCT. Because I remember it was on some of the HSCT sites. It was like, hey, look, the MS Society has finally mentioned HSCT. You know, we all got a big laugh out of it. It's like, well, where have they been for the last 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem is, nobody sees it on their website.
I can see how you would have found that upsetting.
It's a hard thing to get it, you know, to get the ball rolling and to get it across to people, because it completely changes what I call the standard MS narrative. And the standard MS narrative is we start having problems or symptoms. We go see our doctors. We get diagnosed with MS. We get sent to a neurologist who puts us on a DMT, a disease-modifying therapy or an MS drug, which we remain on the rest of our lives, praying that it works and that we can survive the side effects from the drug while most likely going broke financially. Well, here comes HSCT, and it completely changes that. HSCT says you start having problems or symptoms, you go see your doctor, you get diagnosed, well, you get sent to a hematologist, not a neurologist, where they perform a chemotherapy-based procedure using high-dose chemotherapy called HSCT. You have it once, and if it's effective, you're done. Well, you start mentioning that to people that have been so ingrained with the standard narrative of going to a neurologist and taking an MS drug, and they just look at you like you're nuts. I mean, even the doctors. And it's really been a battle for us to even to get to this point with HSCT. And I remember saying about 5 years ago that I thought the only way that the people in the HSCT community was going to win this battle for HSCT for the rest of the MS community was just to overwhelm them with numbers. I said, we're just going to have to get so many people treated that they just can't ignore us or laugh at us anymore. Well, I think we're finally at that point.
Yeah. Now, I have a question to ask, and it might, I don't know, I might be playing devil's advocate a little bit here.
That's fine,
but
go
ahead. I read one study that said that it was very, very effective, but and probably, like I said, more effective than the DMT medications, but that it might only be that effective for 5+ years. So then what happens after the 5, 6, 7 years of it being more effective, and then it's not effective anymore? So then do you have to go get another HSCT treatment, and would your insurance cover that?
Well,
what happens?
If you have it, I mean, I think I know what you're saying. If you have HSCT and you go 5 years and you're disease-free or stable, because that's the goal of HSCT. The goal is not to make you normal or to repair the damage. It's just to halt the disease. If you go 5 years, then they consider it to be completely effective. That's like cancer. I think if you have the cancer treatment or HSCT for cancer, and you go 5 years, I believe then they say you're basically cancer-free, I think, with cancer treatments. That's what they're referring to, I believe. Now, we have had some members of our group that have gone and had it twice, where the first time, for some reason, it did not work. HSCT is not 100%. It doesn't work in some cases. The current statistics we have is that for relapsing remitting, it's 80% effective. For primary progressive, it's 70% effective. And for secondary progressive, it's a little bit less. It's around 65% effective. However, those statistics go across a broad range of patients that get treated, patients that perhaps go right away after diagnosis, and then patients like myself that get treated, 13 years later, maybe 15 years after diagnosis. What if we did what the doctor in Singapore suggests, or they do, and that is at diagnosis, you just get sent right for HSCT. You don't get put on a DMT. We don't wait to see how bad you're going to get. You've got a diagnosis. You're going to the cancer center and get HSCT. What would the percentage of success rate then be for HSCT? Well, I think given the broad spectrum of patients that we've got treated and we've got these numbers for it, I think that if we could get it changed to where HSCT becomes the primary treatment for MS, you get diagnosed, they just send you for HSCT, I think it's possible we could be looking at anywhere from 95 to close to 100% effectiveness rate at stopping MS.
That would be amazing.
But getting that done is going to be a huge fight because the resistance to HSCT, as I call it, is really amazing. Excuse me. You know, you would think that this that HSCT would be all over the MS, these MS societies, magazines, and websites. And all over the MS news, like, you know, the MS publications, I'm sure you follow them.
Yeah.
And there's hardly ever anything about HSCT. And nobody has even mentioned this about the Cleveland Clinic doing this that I've seen anywhere.
Well, it must be that people that are MS, quote-unquote, celebrities, the celebrities that do have MS, I mean, I'm sure that they've had HSCT done.
The only one I know of that's had it done is Selma Blair.
And why isn't she talking about it?
Yeah, it's a good question. You don't hear anything much at all about her since she went and had HSCT done. We thought when that finally happened, we thought finally we'll be getting some publicity about HSCT now that we've got a major celebrity figure who's been very outspoken about MS. I mean, she was all over the news. And then she goes to Dr. Burt, gets HSCT, and she disappears. You hardly hear anything about her. Somebody said, oh, well, she's still on her Twitter account or something. Well, I don't even have Twitter. But before, I mean, you turn on the TV, oh, there's Selma Blair, you know. And then it was like, boom, she gets HSCT and she's gone. It's a good point.
I saw,
you know, a very good point about it. But, you know, you have other people like Montel Williams and some of these
Didn't
other people.
Didn't he get HSCT? Didn't he have HSCT?
No, I think he went down to Panama or someplace and had those mesenchymal stem cell treatments.
Oh.
I think. I'm not really sure. But I think he did do a couple of shows about stem cells being, you know, a scam and how they don't work. Well, the MSCs is a completely, you know, different you know,
there are a lot of bad and unfortunate stem cell scams, which HSCT is not.
Correct.
And I did go to a very good talk at Cleveland Clinic about how you should not go to any type of stem cell hospital, quote unquote, that is not run by an actual hospital. So if it's for pay, you should not be getting stem cells from them. Like you
yeah,
should not be
yeah.
paying for that. It should be by a real medical professional. Like you need to be like insured. It needs to be through insurance, not through quackery, I guess.
Well, that's with the mesenchymal stem cells, or the MSCs, or the fat liposuction type of stem cell. And the reason, as we said, you know, that it doesn't work, at least not for very long, is because it just doesn't address the underlying disease process of MS. The chemotherapy does.
Yeah.
The HSCT is all about chemotherapy. It's not about stem cells.
Yeah.
It's the chemo. And that scares a lot of people. I mean, it did me. That's one reason I put off having HSCT as long as I did. But I finally just got to the point that I just thought, you know, if I'm going to ever do this, I've got to go now. I'm 58. I'm starting to get worse. You know, I just started using a cane before I left for Singapore.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, I'm doing it now or I'm never going to do it. So I went and did it. And, you know. But I did.
I just looked at it like MS is a scary disease. And I don't mind treating it with the scariest medicine possible. So I'm
That's
going
right.
to go all in. And people might look at these side effects and, wow, this is really frightening. But you know what? I look at MS and go, wow, this is really frightening.
Well, like I said, those four people that I know that just wasted away and suffered and died from MS,
yeah.
I'm sure they took every DMT they could.
I watched my aunt die of MS. She wasn't related to me, but she was my by marriage, and I really didn't know anything about MS at the time, but she had had MS since the 70s, and she was very, 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 very sick, and I watched her die, and she was in the very late stages of the disease, and so it was very scary, and I thought, you know, wow, I do not want to be there, and
that's
so
right.
I just knew, like, okay, you know, I'm gonna try everything I can to not go like that.
That's right.
And yeah.
Well, it's MS. There is no easy way out. And HSCT,
yeah.
Like I said, it's a major medical procedure. You know,
yeah.
Bad things sadly can and do happen. You know,
yeah.
I think every facility that does HSCT has at one time or another had a death of a patient. But
yeah.
I had a buddy of mine that died from one of the infusion drugs. Each second infusion they gave him, he went into cardiac arrest and they couldn't revive him. Still had the needle. They just put the needle in his arm, just started the infusion, and he grabbed his chest and collapsed with the needle still in the IV still in him. And they couldn't bring him back. I have another friend of mine. She was taking one of the pills, and same thing happened to her. Fortunately, she was still in the doctor's office when it happened, and they were able to bring her back. So the DMTs, I mean, as you found out with Lemtrada, you know, they got side effects too. But HSCT does have side effects, or it can. It can have side effects. I developed hypothyroidism from the chemo after my HSCT treatment. But that is probably most likely due to the cocktail that I had. My cocktail of drugs was cyclophosphamide and fludarabine. And at the time, Singapore was the only place using those two chemo agents. And I think now they have upgraded to using cyclophosphamide plus RATG like Dr. Burt used. And the fludarabine is a pretty serious chemo agent. They still use it to treat cancer, but it's pretty hardcore, and I suspect that is probably what affected my thyroid. So, but I'd rather deal with hypothyroidism, which is actually fairly common, than I would deal with MS, you know.
Yeah. I just think that what we can do to keep ourselves healthy, like eating well and trying to move our bodies as much as possible, if not exercising, just like moving as much as we possibly can. I mean, I try to exercise now that I can, but if you are in bed, to move as much as you possibly can or get someone to help you with your movements, and to keep your brain in a good place and to be happy and to know that you have family and friends, whether they're around you or you can talk to them on the phone or talk or be online with them in whatever ways because of the pandemic. That's so important when you have multiple sclerosis or other autoimmune diseases, especially right now.
Yeah.
All those things are so important, and especially with right now. It's really important when you have a brain injury and MS or you know, one or the other, or an autoimmune disease, to keep yourself in the right headspace and to stay healthy. Because if you let yourself degrade and go into a dark place, it can get really bad. It's not just bad for your mental health, but your physical health as well. And you need to stay in a good place. I know that. And I hope that everyone out there has really listened to this show and gotten something out of it, because I've really enjoyed everything you've said, Kevin. Thank you so much.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me, because one of the goals of the people and like myself that are in the HSCT community is to just spread the knowledge of the existence of HSCT. You know, hopefully someday we'll get to the point where nobody will say, "What's HSCT?" Everybody will know what it is. And, you know, that's the first thing that we're working for. The second thing is to make it available as a frontline treatment should the patients, decide to have it. You know, in my opinion, I think that's just how they should treat MS and these other autoimmune diseases like CIDP. You know, you get diagnosed, they just send you right for it, right to HSCT. And I realize it's a hard treatment. It's probably the hardest treatment there is, you know. But I think that's just what needs to be done. You know, I don't see any point in waiting and allowing the MS or whatever disease you're dealing with to become entrenched or to cripple you. You know, there's no reason to wait. But the drugs that they're coming out with now are better. And, you know, when we first initially only had the crab drugs, which was basically what I was dealing with before I went for HSCT, I don't think those crab drugs were really very effective. You know, the Copaxone, Rebif, Avonax, Betaserin. I think the newer generations like the Tysabri, that kind of broke out of that mold and became the next generation of what I think are more effective drugs. Because I know someone on Tysabri, and she says she just swears by it. She said, you know, changed her life. You know, she's done really well on it. And this new one that they've got coming out now, it's just been released, this ofatumumab or Kesimpta. It's a weird name, Kesimpta or something like that.
I've heard of both of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's ofatumumab is the the science name for it, and then the trade name or marketing name is Kesimpta or something like that. The reports out of ECTRIMS on that was very, very good. And the delivery system is very simple. It's just a once-a-month shot you give yourself at home with an auto-eject. You know, you don't have to go for the infusion. You don't have to take any steroids or Benadryl like you do with Ocrevus. And there shouldn't be any rebound effect like some people get with Ocrevus. You know, just as they're due,
yeah.
Some people tell me that are on it, that just as they're due for their next infusion, they start feeling bad, you know. And
yeah,
hopefully
that
won't happen with this ofatumumab or Kesimpta or whatever they're calling it. So I'm pretty excited,
yeah.
You know,
I'm
as far as the DMT
as well.
World is, you know, concerned about that new drug.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and I would like to invite you to the show again, but for tonight, this is the close of our show, and I very much appreciate you coming on. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners that my next show will be next month in December on the 12th. And I hope you have a lovely rest of the month. And thank you very much, Kevin. It's been a wonderful educational show and very informational. And I feel like I've learned a lot, and you've really helped all of our listeners. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, and have a wonderful rest of the evening, and thank you so much for having me.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.